Hi and welcome to Home Education for All, or HEFA for short. At HEFA, we believe that community is the heart of home education, and so that's what we built. We built a community in the UK, helping, supporting and uplifting each other to be the best home educators we can be. And now we're coming to you via this podcast too. Stay tuned for all things home education in the UK via our amazing, experienced, knowledgeable and often hilarious team. We truly believe home education can be for everyone, and we hope listening here will give you the confidence or knowledge you need if you've been considering home education. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to HEFA. So this week I have another of our wonderful admins from HEFA Facebook group, Natalie. And Natalie is a home ed mum from Cambridgeshire. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Nervous but good.
Nervous but good. Fantastic. Yeah. So let's jump straight into the questions. How long have you been home edding?
Officially, just over a year. But actually, Holly's not been back since the whole lockdown COVID stuff. But we didn't get round to actually deregistering her until quite a while afterwards.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
So, how is it that you came into home ed then?
Well, I had actually always wanted to home educate ever since she was tiny. But then when it came to applying for school age, and everyone was getting all the forms and everything, my husband was very much at the time, no, she needs to at least try school. All of my family were like, she needs to at least try school. And I, against my better judgment, gave in, and she went to school, and I hated it. I hated dropping off every single morning. And then lockdown came about, and obviously she then couldn't go to school. And I just used that basically as an opportunity to prove how much fun we could have and how much learning we could essentially sneak into every day. And then when it came time for them to go back to school, I was very reluctant. Originally, it was because of still COVID issues. We've got one child that's had lung issues in the past, so we were very cautious. And then sort of a year down the line, somehow we managed to keep them on for a year and they didn't argue too much. But a year down the line, it came to a point, right, you've got to send her in or we're going to fine you. And I went, actually, I don't want to send her in. It'd be like losing her to her first day of school all over again. We decided, oh great, let's carry on with home ed. And she's now loving it.
I love that. I find it really interesting. It comes up a lot, this idea that for some parents, and I'm a parent who has had children home ed from birth and also home ed in school, and I find this concept of, yeah, but we've got to try school at least, even though we want a home ed, we should be trying school. I find that concept really interesting.
Yeah, it's odd though, isn't it? Because like, if you were thinking of school, you wouldn't go, oh, well, we need to try home ed first to see whether or not they like it. But for some reason, school is like the done thing to do, and therefore we have to give it a go.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when my youngest was sort of preschool age, I remember my mother-in-law kind of going, what preschool is he going to then? And I was like, he's not going to a preschool. But how is he going to, you know, and she was completely on board with home ed right up until that point where we then had to have a conversation because, you know, suddenly she understood sort of becoming home ed because of issues in school, but she couldn't understand home edding because it's the best choice.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's so weird.
it is really weird. We did have a lot of, oh, when is she going to nursery? Have you started looking at nursery places? And even though Holly did start at school, we didn't do nursery. I was very much like, well, if we're going to have to go with the try in school, I'm not going to send her until she's CSA at least. So we didn't do nursery. I managed to keep hold of her for that.
To be honest, my youngest was too busy anyway. Because I was home edding older ones, we were at all kinds of home ed things, and it would have kind of interrupted his flow of learning and development to then put him into a preschool with, you know, 20 other 3-year-olds when he was learning from such a rich environment in the home ed community instead. It's so interesting. I love how you've put that. You know, when you're dead set on school, you don't have that conversation of, you know, well, maybe we should try home ed to see if that works first. Despite being home ed being the first choice, actually.
We have to sign up for school, but we don't think, oh, well, let's not sign them up straight away. Let's give this a go.
Well, you are home edding now. So do you just have the one child?
3 children. So we've got Holly, who is our official home educator, just about to turn 10. We've got Tegan, who has just turned 5. She'll be officially CSA in January. So although obviously she's doing loads already, just joining in and doing whatever she wants. And then we've got the feral toddler, who is 2, and who is there to disrupt everything and make things more interesting.
I remember that kind of setup. My children are older now, my youngest is 9, so you know, I've got all teenagers instead, and a preteen who thinks he's a teenager. So you don't have a mix anymore of kind of in school and out. You have everybody's at home.
Everyone's at home, and everyone will be staying at home. We had no intentions whatsoever of even considering with Tegan trying to get her to school. There was no, in the same way that we had the discussions with Holly, we have to try it. With Tegan, it was just an outright no. School would not, it would de-tick her. she wants so much all the time, and she's already essentially doing more than she would at school anyway. So if she went there, it'd just be sit down, be quiet, and that's not Tig, and I don't want her to sit down and be quiet and do as she's told, because it's not her.
Yes, I remember that feeling. Once I'd been home edding the others, I remember kind of considering putting our youngest into school and going, I could not do that to him. Like, what would I be thinking, like, to do that to him? And, you know, if I had to, I kind of now see school as a as an optional if needed. So for example, if I, you know, wasn't able to stay at home with the children any longer, then they might have to go into school, but that would be a last resort. Almost, it sounds awful, but almost like childcare. And I do think that a lot of people do now have to see school as a childcare option as opposed to an educational establishment, which is a shame.
Yeah, I think that's how society is now. It's a case of we're all expected. I mean, we can take some time out for having children, but then we're expected to quickly get them off into some sort of setting so that we can get our asses back to work, essentially. So I find myself feeling very lucky that I am in a position where I can say, no, they're mine, I'm keeping them. So,
And that's not without its sacrifices, is it? You know, we're both non-working home educating parents ourselves. In terms of, when I say non-working, it always grates on me. Because if I was also in paid employment, I'd be working 3 jobs. So I'd be working as a home educator, I'd be working as a mum, and I'd be working as an employee for somebody else. But what I mean when I say non-working is we're not financially contributing into the household at the moment. And that does come with sacrifices that need to be made for the family, right?
I guess. I mean, I suppose we're lucky financially. We're doing okay, I'm not going to lie, because of the job that Ash is in. So we don't have to make huge sacrifices there. In personally, I mean, I don't get any time, ever. I don't get breathing space. Every time I'm quite good at saying to people online, you know, take 5 minutes, go get a cup of tea. I don't remember the last time I had a hot cup of tea. So, I mean, there's certainly sacrifices personally, and it's not a case of I can just drop everything and go do what I want. I've not got like time in the day now where the kids are off doing something else, and so therefore, oh, I fancy doing this, let's go do this. If I can drag the kids along, great. But you know, so personally, yeah, I suppose there's sacrifices. And it annoys me as well when people think of us as non-working. I said to Ash the other day, I work a hell of a lot harder now than I ever did in any employment. They were paying me to do stuff, and I didn't do half as much as I do now. I didn't put in nearly as much effort as I do now.
No, right. I remember when I was in full-time paid employment, to sit on my bum and type things on a computer, essentially. I'd quite happily go back to that. in comparison to the amount of work that it takes to home educate. but home education is a entire lifestyle choice, right? And we do have a lot of parents who are managing part-time work, full-time work and home educating. It's possible to do all of those things. And it's also possible, from my perspective on financial sacrifices, to you know, be able to drop down to one income coming in by doing things like, we don't have two cars anymore. We used to have two cars. We were thinking about upscaling our house, and we've stayed in the same place, even though it's very small, and our children are very big, you know, so that we've got an affordable mortgage, so that we've got, you know, affordable outgoings.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we do the same. We've only got the one car. Ash hasn't even learned to drive. He's got a bike instead, and we've stayed in a house. We know we could do with a bigger house, but our choices basically are, well, yeah, we could get a bigger house, but then we'd have less for when I do want to take the kids out and do experiences and stuff. So we just stay where we are, and if need be, we'll get a sofa bed in the living room if that's what it takes to fit us all in.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I hadn't even really considered sacrifice that, because that's just become part of our life in order to make this work. So I hadn't even really thought of that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at. But when you've been doing it and you've made those choices already and you're just living it, it doesn't occur to you as being a sacrifice anymore, right?
No.
But for people who are new and are like, how can I possibly, you know, drop down to part-time hours or, you know, all of these kinds of things, we tend to find that families make it work. We make it work because it's what's best at the moment for our kids. So, do you guys have a particular home ed style that you follow?
Yeah, it's called making it up as we go along and hoping all is good. We've done bits of everything. So when she first came out of school and we were in lockdown, I sacked off all the school stuff straight away. They were sending stuff through and it was rubbish and boring. I was like, nah, we're not doing that. So we turned everything into a game, and I set up challenges between our family and my sister's family, because she's also got kids, and then their grandparents, and we did like family challenges against each other, which were cool. And I always sort of hid in different bits that they didn't realise they were learning, because we were just playing a big, big game. Then when it got to that year where she was sort of still registered at school but not going to school, I was like, okay, I feel like I've got to prove that I can keep up with school. And we suddenly went very structured, incredibly structured. And we followed all of what they would be doing curriculum-wise, topic-wise. And it was stressful, quite honestly. I felt like we learned loads, but it didn't feel fun. It felt like although we were doing it, is it really going in? Because we're just stressing arguing with each other all the time. So now, we are incredibly laid back, and we've gone completely the other way. And she is basically, I'm basically seeing what she will get up to if I don't tell her, do this, do that all the time. I find she writes a lot and she reads a lot. Those are her favourites. We have to sneak maths in with different bits. She helps with finances, though. She loves doing that. And she's found some games online. And now, yeah, we're just sort of, I don't know, we go all over the place.
So we are officially winging it.
Yes, officially winging it completely.
I love that. because something you said is really important, which is, you know, you tried doing all of the structured stuff, and for your family, that actually was really, really stressful.
Oh, yeah.
Very. For some families, the bringing in that structure, that curriculum, you know, all of that kind of stuff can relieve the stress, right?
Yeah.
But for some of us, it's the opposite. And for those of us who have that experience, I like to remind myself and others that I'm not a teacher, right? I'm a parent who is helping their child to learn.
Yeah.
So
we don't need like set things at set times, because we've got to make sure that everyone is doing the same thing. So we can have that more freedom, more flow, more relaxed.
Yeah.
If we need to.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, yeah, some people, the structure absolutely works for them, and that's fine. But it just didn't work for us.
No. And you have a bit of an interesting family makeup, which fascinates me, because obviously, from what I know about your family, I would presume that you guys were really structured.
Because of Ash, yeah. And being a teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? Yeah. He does sometimes like say to me, like, have you done this? Have you thought of doing that? And then I'll go, actually, we covered that, but we did it in this way. And he'll go, oh, right, fair enough, you've got a point. Or alternatively, it completely goes the other way. He'll come home and I'll go, I don't feel like I did anything, because I've become much more relaxed and seeing what Holly gets up to. And then he'll say, okay, talk me through your day. And then he'll go, oh, so you covered literacy, you covered science, you covered... And I'll be like, yeah, okay, fair enough, you've got a point. He is a teacher. In fact, he's an assistant head, deputy head, one of the two. I get it mixed up. I think he's an assistant head. And obviously in school he has to follow that structure. But he really... In fact, when it came to making the decision whether or not we were going to take Holly out of school completely, it was him that pushed for it. It was him that said, no, do you know what? This is so much better. You can offer us so much more. It can be so much more relaxed. It can be exactly what she needs. And this is Tegan. He's
So the listeners can't see what I can see. But
no, they can't.
We have a child.
It's a little face.
A little face that has appeared on camera. So we have our first interview with a home ed child. Hello, Tegan.
Can you say hi?
Hi.
So that's really interesting, because quite often we do hear from a lot of teachers in our home ed community that say, you know, because I'm a teacher, I want to home ed my kids. Mm. And I find that fascinating and interesting all at once. But I do know that the majority of teachers go into teaching to make a difference to children's lives, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They are, I feel like at the moment, they are very, very aware that what they're working with is outdated. There are so many issues at the moment. But it's what they're told they have to work with. And they feel, as much as, you know, I say to him, do you know you could make a difference if you all got together and said, no, we're doing it a different way. But they feel powerless against it. They're told this is how you've got to do. And so that's what they do. And they do the best with what they can, with what they've got.
I agree.
And they absolutely do care about the children. I promise you that. And they do... I've lost my train of thought. They do really want to make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. And what I will say is those teachers do make a difference to the children that are in school. You know, I have a daughter that is in school. She's in her final year of school, and she has a couple of teachers who are not very helpful, but the majority of her teachers have all the time in the world to try and help her to understand what she needs to do so that she can get her through her exams. And they're really, really dedicated to that and to ensuring that she is mentally well while all of that happens as well. They go above and beyond. You know, but like we said, they're working in a system that is outdated, and unfortunately it's the children and them teachers that are suffering because of that. Is there anything you wish you knew when you first started home ed?
I suppose that I didn't have to be so structured, because that's where it came when we were doing the lockdown stuff. I just figured she'll go back to school eventually, so I can do whatever I like in this period. And then when she first stopped going to school, like when she was supposed to go back, I felt like I had to keep up with school and I had to be doing the curriculum and stuff. It took me a little while before I found lots of proper home ed advice that said, you know, you don't have to do this and you can make it work for your child. And also, we didn't need all the books. I've got the other books. We didn't need those. We really didn't. And if she asks me a question, I can answer. If I don't know, I can find Google. We don't need workbooks. We don't need to print stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, that's a really common experience, is that, you know, for people who, in the lockdown, people had that freedom, right, to kind of just make it work however it needed to for their family. And some people tried to follow along with what schools were providing, and others just kind of binned it and did what they needed to do. And then for those people who then become home educated, it's almost like suddenly the world is on their shoulders of proving to some invisible force that they're capable of teaching their children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though we'd literally just been doing it and they all survived. I know, it's ridiculous.
We literally do it for the first 5 years of our children's lives. We are solely responsible, you know, for making sure that our children grow and develop and are safe and secure and able to learn. And then there's this weird idea that once they hit five, we can't do it anymore. Or we can do it up until 11, and then once they hit secondary school, we can't do it anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I get questions all the time. Oh, what are you going to do when she gets to secondary school? We'll carry on as we are, I guess, and see what she wants to do, and then we'll follow that.
Yeah.
Because she's not far off now, I get that a lot from my in-laws, and I'm just like, well, she doesn't have to be at school for secondary school. I can do that too.
Yeah.
We can do that together.
Yeah. Yeah. I have home-edded through secondary. And I can confirm that they do come out needing minimal therapy. So, you know.
I bloody wish that I had been home ed through secondary. Honestly, secondary was hell for me. And it was just bullying and stress. And you need to do all of this work. And then we want you to do homework as well. And we want you to do this many exams, even though you don't want to do this many exams. And it was just. It was awful, really, wasn't it?
Yes.
Secondary. It was not a nice experience.
It was not. And in our society, the way that our society is made up, it's expected that secondary school will be awful. It's supposed to be. Like, that's kind of the advertisement for secondary school, is it's supposed to be really hard. It's supposed to be really awful. And you're supposed to really struggle with your interactions with your peers, because it'll stand you all in good stead and resilience for the outside world.
Yeah.
It's really odd.
What's that all about? That is a weird one. And there's also this expectation, get as many exams as you can. Why? What am I going to do with them? I genuinely don't know when I have ever used my RE exam. I genuinely don't know.
No.
I mean, for some people they will, obviously, but we don't need this whole list if we don't want them.
No, you know, there's definitely a case. my eldest child, not my eldest, the one who's in school currently, she's 15. And she said to me the other day that she wishes that the government would see that numeracy and literacy is more important than English and maths.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And she wishes that they did functional skills for everyone. And then it was optional for the school to put certain children in for GCSEs in the subjects of English literature and mathematics.
Yeah.
You know, people who are, you have that option with science. So at the moment you have three different subjects in science, and most children have a double award where they do two of them. And if you are particularly good at science, then you will be put in for the triple award. So she's gone in for the triple award. So she's already done one GCSE last year. And then she does the other two, physics and biology, this year, as in next year, but this academic year. And she loves that. She loves that there's a basic science expectation, and then for those who are particularly good at science and really enjoy it, they can go in for additional sciences. And she wishes they did that with all core skills.
Yeah, she's got a smart head there.
She has.
Makes a lot of sense.
And she also wishes that the options were actually options.
Yes. Yes. We're going to give you these options, but you must choose. Right, so not optional.
So they're not optional, are they? Because I'd choose to not do any of them, thanks. So yeah, that's one of the benefits of home ed, is that, you know, when you're home edding secondary children, you can choose if they do want to do exams, because exams aren't compulsory for home educated children. They're technically not compulsory for any children, but that's a different conversation. For home ed children, you have to opt into GCSEs rather than try and opt out. So you can, you know, we at HEFA do recommend that all children have, you know, some level of literacy and numeracy that they can bring forward into their next stage. But whether that's functional skills or whether that's GCSEs is completely up to a family. And you, if your child wants to do specific GCSEs, they can. Stuff that isn't available on the national curriculum.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. I had no idea that there were other GCSEs, because they don't let us know about them, obviously. But yeah, there's so much out there that is available for them if that's what they're interested in.
Yes. And that's the key thing, right, is when a child is interested and engaged in something, they're going to learn so much more from it.
Yeah.
Is there a big... So this question is about biggest challenges relating to home ed for your family. So is there kind of a big challenge that you have in your family relating to home ed, or...?
Unless you count a two-year-old that tends to shout over the top and then it's difficult to have conversations, not really. I mean, to be honest, Tegan just sort of joins in with a lot of stuff. So we do a lot of stuff together. And then obviously they'll just be taking different bits from it. So it's a lot of family work and all sort of working together and having fun doing the same kind of thing. Like I said, I've got a toddler that does make, excuse me, sometimes talking because she just wants all the attention. But there's not any huge challenges unless it's getting Holly to look at anything with numbers because I think she might be allergic to them. She does not like anything numbers based, unless it's helping me with the finances, which, to be fair, I mean, I wish someone had told me how to do finances, so at least she's doing that.
Because you a lot of people talk about that. They say, you know, I was never taught to do finances at school, and, you know, all of those kinds of things. We were given the building blocks for them, for being able to do all of those things, but nobody ever actually lays it out for you, do they?
No, they don't put it into context.
Yeah.
So she's now getting sort of the real world, because they are our actual finances. So she actually has to help me with our real world situation, and therefore, hopefully, she'll be able to do it herself when it comes to later.
And that's what's important, because you know, home education, the aim of any education is to equip a child to be able to function in society as a member of society. So you know, quadratic equations maybe are not her thing, but you know, she's able to look after herself, to budget, to manage her own finances, to be able to see discrepancies in her finances, all of those things that are essential. So although she may be allergic to the more typical education when it comes to numbers, she's very clearly learning a lot of numeracy.
Yeah, we managed to get it. We do manage to get it in.
Yeah.
That's the only, I mean, I do have to say to her, do you want to come and help me with the finances this week? And she does generally say yes. It's not something she would normally offer to do, but yeah, that's how we get it in.
I love it. Have you got one piece of advice that you could give our listeners, whether that's people considering home education, brand new, more experienced home edders? What's your one kind of big piece of advice for people?
Probably to trust yourself. We all have these moments of doubt, and we are going to continue to have them for as long as we home ed. But like we were saying earlier, we do this from when they're first born all the way up to like before they go to school, and they all survive and they all learn. And it's a case of, how do we know they're progressing? Well, because we can see it. We can see that they're progressing. We can see that they've learned how to eat and how to talk and how to walk and all of the things that we were helping them to learn. So just trust yourself. Honestly, we are their parents. We are their best advocates. We are the ones that are most interested in where they're going to get to in life. So we are the ones that are best equipped to help them get there.
Oh,
we just
what a mic drop moment to end this podcast on. That was brilliant. When you hear that
sometimes
Natalie, when you hear that back, you're going to be like, yeah, I'm so wise.
Did I say that? Was so wise. I can be wisdomous.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's been brilliant.
I'll be back.
You'll be back.
If you have me back. Yeah. Yeah. If you'll have me back, I'll be back.
Always.
It wasn't quite as scary as I thought it was going to be.
It's not scary. It's just us having a chat.
Yeah. You're not a monster.
Not a monster. No.
No.
And currently sat in my pyjamas.
See, I bothered to get dressed for you. You should feel special.
I did put a cardi on so that you weren't aware I was in my pyjamas. However,
they told me anyway.
This is not a home edit thing. This is a throwback from lockdown thing, which is, you know, top half dressed, bottom half pyjamas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, you can find out more about home education via Home Education for All, HEFA. We are on Facebook as a business page. We also have a Facebook group of around 16,000 members. We have this podcast. We are on Instagram. In fact, Natalie would be better placed to tell you all of this because she's one of our tech admins.
I do all the pretty things.
You
yeah,
do.
I make all the pretty things.
You do. All of the gorgeous infographics and prettiness that you see across the internet.
All the free resources that keep popping up.
Yes.
And do you know the amazing thing about that? We hardly ever use them. I do them specially for our members.
So yes, you
for
can
those
find
people
us
that
everywhere.
Don't have something.
You can find us everywhere. We are everywhere. So yeah, if you're considering home education, you are welcome to join our group and we can support you with that. If you are new to home education, if you're having any wobbles, anything at all relating to home ed, we are the heart of home education. So come and find us. Until next time, take care and we will see you all next week.